Hey, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin, coming at you the day after the Warriors take out the Milwaukee Bucks. A game where the Warriors finally are able to stop turning the ball over. Two games in a row under 10 turnovers. And the shooting finally started falling. Some open shots started falling, starting to look a little bit like what the blueprint would be for this Warriors team to go on a little bit of a run and just start playing better overall basketball. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a bit about De'Anthony Melton. I want to talk about Gui Santos. And then, just like always, I want to talk some trades. I want to talk a little bit about the three big names out there that have been connected to the Warriors lately. Do I think that the Warriors are going to actually get any of these guys? Probably not. Everything you hear, their reluctance to trade these first round picks because they're so damn valuable, I would disagree. We're going to take a look at Michael Porter Jr., Trey Murphy, Anthony Davis, which of these guys I would trade for, what I would be willing to give for them, and what it would look like for the Warriors if they actually pulled the trigger and did a trade for one of these guys for Kuminga, who is trade eligible in exactly 1 week from right now. Crazy to think we've finally gotten here, almost. Looking at last night's game, finally a game where it was a clean game, right? Something you can expect where you're not just throwing ridiculous passes into the stands. Couple bad passes, couple near bad turnovers, but all in all, Warriors took care of the ball a bunch more. Steph Curry, Draymond Green combined only two turnovers. That is the blueprint for success. Sounds like Draymond has taken it to heart a bit for at least the time being. You know, had a conversation with Steve Kerr, been getting a whole bunch of text messages from his mom telling him he needs to focus and A, stay on the court, but B, stop throwing the ball away. And seems like he's just being a little bit less aggressive in a good way. You know, you can still throw that backdoor pass like he did when Steph was getting top locked by Ryan Rollins in that first quarter through a beautiful kind of baseline pass to him. I'm all for that. It's the ones where you are in transition and you're just kind of whipping your head around, looking up, and you see a blue jersey and you just chuck the ball ahead. Terrible turnover. Or you're just throwing up a jump ball to Jimmy Butler, who, you know, may or may not catch it. Fortunately, most of the time he does come down with it, but then he's just kind of stuck and trying to create from there. It's just not worth throwing those passes. Starting to see a little bit less of that from Draymond Green. And because of that, you're getting a couple extra possessions per game and a couple extra points per game. And tonight it yielded a win. Really, if you can keep those turnovers below like 14, 15, now that's not going to be the reason you lose. I mean, it still needs to be better. But again, the reason the Warriors have also been losing, in addition to turnovers, has just been missing open shots. I think you probably know at this point that the Warriors take the most three-pointers in the NBA. They are making the 14th best percentile from three, which, when you consider that 45% of all of the Warriors' field goal attempts, so twos, threes, whatever, are wide open or open threes. Almost half of our shots we're taking are open threes. That sounds like the recipe for a lot of success. That means something is working, mainly Steph Curry's gravity. It means you're getting open threes. And when your team is built of guys that for their careers have shot 37, 38% or even higher, you expect those to be knocked down at that clip. You expect to be shooting 38, 39% as a team. Instead, you're shooting about 36% as a team with the greatest shooter that ever lived taking the majority of your shots. It's just not good enough. And there's a reason the Warriors keep coming up a few points short. It's because you're leaving a couple points in terms of your shot making on the court every day, and you're turning the ball over, call it a handful of times more than you should be. That leads to a point per turnover per possession in general. De'Anthony Melton knocking down threes was a welcome sight. I think, what do you got, like 5 for 8 or something like that? Whatever it was, he is now 9 for his last 18 from three the last three games. Were you shooting, God, like 25% from three or something like that before that? It's come up a bit. He's a career 37% shooter. He on his, and that's on like five, 5.5 attempts per game. Right, so far he's only shooting like 4.5 attempts per game with the Warriors because he's been kind of cold. But you can see when he's confident, when he has his rhythm back, like it looks like he has. You know, it's a good catch and shoot, very clean release, especially from that corner, looking very nice in terms of just kind of catch, shoot, it's up, and it's been nothing but net for, you know, the majority of his shots last night and recently. And just that ability to not only shoot off his own, off his own creation, but also just as a catch and shoot guy at that position is why he closes games with us. It is very, very imperative that he can knock down threes with our closing lineup because that lineup is just starved for spacing when you're playing Jimmy and Dre together. And Melton being in there, like he's going to be as probably our most legit two-way 3-and-D type player, I'm gonna have to knock down at least at like a 37, 38% clip for the Warriors to keep winning games. So that's improving. Other reasons for optimism, Al Horford's kind of coming along. I mean, defensively great. I'm talking more about like the 3-point shooting though, but defensively Horford's been very good and was again last night. But Horford's taking 4.5 threes per game. At this point in the season, he's shooting 35%, which is actually kind of starting to trickle up. For his career, he's a 38% shooter. And in recent years, he's been closer to like a 40% shooter. His last five games, he's shooting 39% from three. So we're starting to see the sample size and his rhythm come back. Now you raise Horford from a 3% shooter from earlier in this year to a 39% shooter, and you know, that's an extra point or two per game, and you're starting to get that true spacing that you wanted and everything you're starting to hope that Horford was going to bring you. On the flip side, the other way we can bring our 3-point percentage up to, again, my target's like 38%, and we need to get that up from 36%. We need to have our non-shooter, our poor shooters shooting less threes. Draymond Green, you are a poor 3-point shooter. You shoot 32% for your career. Yet you're shooting and attempting a career high 4.4 3-point attempts per game this year. It's fine to shoot the open three. It's not fine to shoot it in the first 10, 12 seconds of the shot clock. Unless you've surveyed the defense, you see that there's just nothing else going on. Steph's being double teamed, and there's nothing better than an open three, then sure, go ahead, fire away. But when you're just catching, shooting, you know, first pass in the possession, just because your defender's challenging you, turning his back on you, daring you to shoot a three, you can't let your ego kick in here just to prove them wrong that you deserve, you know, to be guarded on that 3-point line. You don't. You can't. You aren't. 32% is not good enough. If you're going to keep shooting that and you're going to keep shooting that percentage, they're going to play off you. And if you're going to keep shooting 4.5 attempts per game, you're going to bring our average down and you're leaving points on the table. So be more disciplined with your shot selection. Quinton Post. We're okay. I think I am okay. I think you're okay with Post shooting open threes. He's also attempting 4.5, 4.4 3-pointers a game, only shooting 34%, which is actually a little bit of an improvement. But reason for optimism being that over December, January is kind of shooting like 36%. We know he shot like 41% last year from three. I see Post as a 38 or better percent shooter from three, especially when they're open. It's kind of just coming off a little flat. It's just, you know, it hasn't looked great. And I tend to think that he's going to start getting that average right. And there you're kind of gaining another half point to a point per game if he starts knocking down shots. Doing the math, Warriors attempt about 45 3-point shots per game. You shoot 2% better, and you're going to add about 2.5 points per game. How many games have we lost by less than 2 points? I know it doesn't quite work that way, but reasonable to think the Warriors could have two, three, maybe even four wins more just by shooting a little bit better. And that's not even counting the improved turnovers that hopefully is a new trend. Let's talk a little bit of Gui Santos, and I have to connect that to Gary Payton II being out a bit. Gui's minutes have gone up a lot. Gui is a winning player. Gui makes effort plays that get you extra possessions. He spaces the floor well. He gives you some positional size that the Warriors are so desperate for at that power forward position. The problem is that GP2 in Steve Kerr's eyes, is a power forward. He plays GB2 in lineups with GB2 at that four. Dunker spot on offense, sure, perimeter defender, but you're sometimes asking him a lot of the time. He's getting switched onto the bigs, and he holds his own for his size, and he can get up and block a shot, but you're just not as big or as wide of frame as Gi Santos is. Case in point, like last night, Gi Santos or Draymond Green gets switched off of Giannis, and Gi has to guard Giannis in the post and hold his own, forces Giannis into a miss. That's something that if GP2 is switched there, that's a bucket automatically. And for the most part, Giannis is not the best example, but call it a big that uses his size. It's not a mismatch against Gi Santos down there. Gi can hold his own, make the guy work for his shot. GP2, that's not what he does well. And when you're playing four guards at a time, that doesn't work. Yeah, your perimeter defense is a little bit better that way, but again, you're not quite getting that size and positional size that you need, particularly again with defensive rebounding as well. So I need to scale back GB2's minutes. I need to scale up Gi's minutes where he's playing at least 15, 18 minutes per game like he is last night. And you see it, the plus minus reflects it very much so. He didn't even score very well last night, and he actually didn't have a great game, had a couple turnovers, but they were plus 12 in his minutes. I think they were like plus 14 in that first half where he was scoreless. And so just the little things that it's pretty evident to me, at least, that Gi, has room for improvement, but he gives you what you need in terms of that energy, particularly late in the games when the Warriors are going to hit that skid of energy and shot making, and you just need him in there to get you some extra possessions. And I think he's a good shooter. I think he spaces the floor well. His percentage could come up a bit, but when he catches and shoots and he's open, it's a very clean, compact looking shot. I am very happy when he's shooting an open three, and when his feet are set, I can count on him to knock it down. So more Gi minutes, please. All right, moving on. We kind of see the blueprint to winning some games. How can you keep improving the scoring, the 3-point shooting? Well, you can make a big trade. Blockbuster trade. Let's talk about the three names that are being floated out there. Do I think, again, that anything's going to happen? I don't know, man. I mean, based on what Dunleavy, Kerr, and kind of what team officials have been, or team analysts have been saying, everyone's skeptical, but it seems pretty darn obvious that there are some trades to be made that are out there. And if you're willing to trade the picks, it would give this team a legit chance at knocking off one of these big Thunder, Nuggets, one of these contenders in the West. And when you have Steph Curry and you have a good enough supporting cast, you can beat anybody. They're not there yet, so you need to make a swing. Damn the picks, especially if they're not post-Steph picks, which you can trade a 2026 first round pick and a 2028 first round pick. Hopefully Steph plays a few more years, and those picks are late lottery picks, and you can go exchange those two first round picks in Kuminga for one of these three guys that we're talking about here. Let's start with Trey Murphy. The three names, I'll just back up. Three names: Trey Murphy, Michael Porter Jr., Anthony Davis. The three names attached, that would be the biggest all-star swings. So Trey Murphy sounds like the Pelicans want at least two first round picks. It starts there for Trey Murphy or Herb Jones. I tend to think that when they say that, Trey Murphy is going to cost more than that. He's a much better player than Herb Jones. I think it would, and I think there's been rumors about what the actual cost is, but it sounds kind of like Kuminga and three first round picks for Trey Murphy. Their salaries more or less match, so you don't really have to include too many other depth pieces unless it's a bigger deal. But sounds like you can go get Trey Murphy for three first round picks. It's steep, but I think you take the swing and you make the move if that's the best offer you have on the table. Trey Murphy fits everything that the Warriors need. We've talked about it ad nauseum. They need some athleticism on the wing. They just need a wing. They need someone who can knock down shots, especially from that wing position. You need athleticism. He gives you a good defender. I think he's like 1.5 steals per game. Can initiate offense, good rebounder at his size. Just again, he's a young rising player. I think he's 26 years old. He's on a great contract, $25 million, and I think he's got like three more years on it. So he's a potential building block towards the next era post Steph potentially. lot to like. It's really just, is the cost worth it for three first round picks? I say yes, but is it the best deal out there for the value? Let's keep going. Michael Porter Jr., who is healthier generally, these days, especially the last 3 years, he's pretty much played every game. Trey Murphy, not so much. That's the one caveat with him is that I think he's only played like 55 games each of the last couple of seasons. So you run a little bit of availability risk there. But again, he's young for the most part. Michael Porter Jr., career year, went to the Nets, high usage, 26 and a half points per game. Knockdown shooter, can shoot on the move. That's the thing. I mean, Trey Murphy can too, but if you're talking like Klay Thompson-like offense where you're off the move, you can catch, you can shoot, it's up quick. You're tall enough to get pretty much any shot off. Michael Porter Jr. is as good as they come. Gives you length on defense, although he's not nearly as good a defender as Michael as Trey Murphy. But again, that length will go a long way, and it's a huge upgrade on Moody or Will Richard or whoever else you have playing that three right now. At least on a defensive side, just the length helps you a ton, and the defense really isn't the problem currently. Just gives you another offensive dog. I think he's like a 50% high volume. He's taking like 18, 19 shots per game, shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three. Great free throw shooter, gets to the line a handful of times a game. Great rebounder, seven rebounds a game, slightly more than Trey Murphy. Again, not quite as good defensively as Murphy, but aside from that, probably at this point, a better offensive player all around. And again, just gives you a little bit more positional size. The catch here is his contract is, I think, like $45 million compared to Trey Murphy's 25. So it's not that I don't mind sending out, in addition to Kuminga, Buddy Hield and Moody or whoever you have to make the trade work money wise. That doesn't really bother me. It's just, it kind of handcuffs you going forward if you want to make any other moves, particularly like next year, just because you have a lot of money tied up in your three big dogs with Jimmy and Steph. So the money makes a difference. There's an extra $20 million there that you could use to go get a mid-level exception or just another depth piece there in addition to Trey Murphy that you can't get with Michael Porter Jr. But that's offset by the asking price because it sounds like the Nets want two first round unprotected picks, hopefully not three. So it sounds like his asking price is you can hold on to an additional first round pick than you would have to spend for Trey Murphy. And if that's the case, comparing those two deals, I think I would just slightly lean towards the Michael Porter Jr. deal. I think it's a more seamless fit. They're both perfect fits on offense, to be honest. But I think just the extra shooting and just the fact that he's having just a better year. Going into the year, I would have said Trey Murphy's the better player. Seeing Michael Porter in this role and just kind of just, in a higher usage role, it's hard to debate that he's just the better player, averaging an extra 6 points per game, than Trey Murphy. And we already know just from a shooting perspective, he's just a better shooter. He's one of the best shooters in the league. Kind of gives you, honestly, like the best comparison would kind of be like a Kevin Durant in this offense, just a really tall, lanky shooter, can score, get his, and not the best playmaker. Trey Murphy probably gives you a little bit more playmaking, but no slouch. So I would lean slightly Michael Porter Jr., but if they do either of those trades, I'm ecstatic. The third player, Anthony Davis. This is the interesting one. It depends on his availability. Anthony Davis, I mean, it's a wide range of outcomes, man. I mean, like, he could be a top five player of the NBA. He could be the best player that the Warriors trade for. You might not even have to really give up too many picks to get him. You just give him a Kuminga, and Draymond. The other option would be giving up Jimmy Butler, which I think is a no-go just because offensively, your ball handling, your spacing is super jacked up if you just trade Jimmy Butler straight up for Anthony Davis. So I think the trade would be Kuminga and Draymond for Anthony Davis, amongst other pieces. I would hate to lose Draymond from a culture standpoint and everything he does, but if you're going to replace Draymond's impact defensively with anybody, Anthony Davis is a pretty good replacement. Again, depending on if he's actually playing. This trade only makes sense if Anthony Davis is healthy, and then it's still kind of a question, right? I mean, like defensively, you might not have a drop off. You might you get the rim protection you really want. I'm not going to underestimate Draymond Green's impact on the defensive side here. Draymond is the best defensive player of his generation, and maybe honestly ever. At this point in time, I still think he's a better defender than Anthony Davis. Doesn't give you as much rim protection again, but outside of that, he just captains the defense, cleans up everyone's mess, can be a point of attack defender on any player at the end of games. You've already seen Anthony Davis pull him out to the perimeter on defense, and Steph Curry will have his way with him. These quicker guards will have his way with him. So you have to kind of hide Davis in pick and roll action a little bit and help him out there. Offensively, yeah, it helps you a whole bunch if you basically replace Anthony Davis or Draymond Green with Anthony Davis. Gives you he's a 20 point scorer right now. That's a big drop off from the 25, 26 point scorer that he's been most of his career. Doesn't really shoot, doesn't space it that well. It'd be kind of a clunky fit, doesn't see the floor well, can't handle the ball well. But that being said, he's a rim runner. He can finish. He can knock down that mid-range. And he is a good fit with Steph Curry if you're trying to play all that little two-man. It'd be interesting how it fits with Jimmy and if the spacing works there. A lot of question marks, but I would, if that is the only trade available to the Warriors and the other two are off the table and it just doesn't look like you can make much of an impact trade, I would do the trade, call it Kuminga, Draymond, and a first-round pick. A protected first round pick for Anthony Davis. I would probably do it. I think there's other pieces and supplementary and subsequent trades that would need to be done. But I think just for the sake of shaking things up, giving yourself an offensive boost. I mean, we kind of know what this team is right now, and it's not good enough to win a championship. So I guess if anything, swing for the upside that Anthony Davis is healthy, can get back to form and be the player that Nico Harrison thought he was trading Luka Doncic for. And let's just see if, hey, you get Steph, the best big that he's ever played with. Does that recipe work? I would think it would. But again, it would be hard to say goodbye to Draymond. So again, I would put that a distant third doing that trade. But if nothing else, I would still do that trade and send out Draymond Green. All right. Well, I will talk to you after next time. Again, countdown's on. Morris got some big moves, hopefully, coming up in the future. If they're smaller moves, well, we'll have to dissect those and see if those are even worth it. But you'll probably see me pretty frustrated if the Warriors don't take a decent-sized swing. But who knows? Maybe they'll stop turning the ball over. Maybe they'll start making open threes, and they'll start winning some games, and then we'll start believing that this team actually has a chance to knock somebody off in the playoffs. All right. Give me a like, follow, subscribe if you can. Appreciate you guys. I will talk to you next time. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.